give us an update on what's been happening here the last week in the legislature, and I know you've got a hearing on your railroad bill that's going to be taking place today.
That's true. Yeah, the LB 37 is the railroad safety bill that I introduced this session, and it's really a bill that has been introduced in the past. I believe Senator Lynn Walz introduced it a year ago, and I co-sponsored it. This year, I introduced it again. I believe Senator Denixi Gurecka has indicated he would likely prioritize the bill if we can get it out of committee. Which is going to have to happen pretty quickly. Today is day 40 of the 90-day session, and so priority bill designations need to be submitted to the speaker by Friday of this week. So everyone's got to kind of figure out what bill they want to prioritize, and then the committee priority bills. Each committee has two priority bills. Those need to be in by Friday as well. And then the speaker next week will, the speaker priority bill designations or the requests for speaker bill designations would be due next Thursday. And the speaker can designate 25 bills as his priority bills. And those are selected by senators making requests of what bills they would like to get prioritized. And then the speaker decides from there, you know, what he wants to do. And typically they're not controversial bills, but there are a lot of bills. Obviously, there were 725 bills that were introduced this year. Early on in the session, he was looking for bills to get, you know, pushed out of committee onto the floor to be scheduled on the floor. He's got plenty of bills to choose from now, and so, as I've indicated to people, that if your bill hasn't been scheduled for general file yet, it's likely going to take a priority designation to be able to get it scheduled, because they're just, when you look at 49 senators plus another two for each of the standing committees, and then speaker priority bills, that's a lot of bills that will have priority designation and will be scheduled ahead of those that do not have that. So, and, you know, if we don't have a lot of filibusters, that's possible to go beyond that. And there may be some that'll go on what we refer to as consent calendar. The speaker each year can decide whether or not he wants to hold the consent calendar, and then he'll set the rules for it. But generally, for a bill to qualify for consent calendar, it would have to be a non-controversial bill with no fiscal note that had no opposition testimony and came out of committee unanimously. So, kind of note to self: if you're on a committee and you want to tank somebody's possibility for a consent calendar designation, just vote no on their bill in committee, and it's no longer eligible for consent calendar. So, so that's one of the other options that's out there, but. Last week, for the most part, we're going to continue to have committee hearings through the end of March. The Banking, Commerce, and Insurance Committee, which I chair, I believe we've got bills that will be scheduled for, I think we've got one more Monday where we will do bill hearings, and then we're done. The committee will have heard all the bills that were referenced to the Banking, Commerce, and Insurance Committee. So we will not be meeting as a committee in the afternoons and while the other committees finish up. The Judiciary Committee always has the most bills, and so it's a little bit you seem to be being sent to the Russian front, so to speak, if you're put on the Judiciary Committee, because. You meet 3 days a week, and your hearings will go, you could go till midnight on nights. I mean, you can't go past midnight, but I mean, I'm telling you, they meet late, and it's a real challenge. God bless those who are on the Judiciary Committee, and I know Senator Storr requested to go on the Judiciary Committee. God bless her, because most senators coming in, please put me on any committee except Judiciary. So, it's been interesting. So, but at any rate, I think Judiciary will go through the rest of the month on with hearings. Appropriations will continue and others. So, I'll get a little bit of a reprieve. The Revenue Committee will probably need to meet through the month yet. But we might have a week where we might not have hearings that day. We may be through them. And then, when we start in April, then we're going to go to an all day floor debate. And so, bills move a little bit quicker when we get to all day floor debate. And then they reserve some time for late nights where we'll start. Generally, the schedule is you start every Monday morning at 10 o'clock, and then every other morning is at 9 o'clock. We try to take an hour and a half for lunch, and then we try to adjourn by 5 o'clock. But once we go to late nights, we could go truly late nights. And there again, you could go as late as midnight. I think the latest that I was here probably was back in 2023 when we went to 11 or 11:30 one night, or a couple of nights. So so that's the schedule. But this week, as you said, we've got the railroad safety bill up this afternoon. So I've got I'll be chairing the Banking, Commerce, and Insurance Committee. I'm hoping that we can get our hearing over with before I need to go to the Transportation and Telecommunications Committee to present LB 37. But if not, the vice chair will take over, and I'll head to do that presentation. I've also got a bill on the floor this week or this morning. This is a bill I brought on behalf of the Nebraska Investment Council. So I'll be working that bill this morning, and I think that the interesting thing is the Senator Hallstrom has his Uber Lyft bill. That's on final reading, okay? Final reading that's been filibustered. And you're probably wondering, has that happened very often? The answer is no. The Uber Lyft bill, I don't know, just think about this for a minute. These are drivers that provide their own vehicles, decide when they want to drive and when they don't want to drive. And they could drive for Uber and for Lyft. They could drive for DoorDash. That's up to them. So they check all the boxes to be considered independent contractors. But there's a push in the legislature this year to fight against them. The bill basically specifically designates that they are independent contractors, because there have been some that argue that they should be employees. I don't know how Uber, Lyft, and DoorDash would handle them as an employee. It's kind of mind-boggling to even think, how would you do that? Mm-hmm. I think there's a push that some would like them to be eligible to be unionized, and that's really why it's controversial. So it's gotten 33 votes on general file. It got 33 votes on select. And it's going to need 33 votes this morning to pass on final reading. Kind of a mixed bag. There was one Republican who voted against the bill voted against cloture. So that would have only given us 32 votes. But Senator Raybould, who's a Democrat, but her family owns Russ's Super Sabers, sees the value of having them as independent contractors. So she broke ranks and has been voting with the Republicans. So with the flu going around, you cross your fingers. All it's going to take is one person willing to vote for cloture that doesn't show up this morning, and the bill goes down in flames. So so that'll be a little bit of drama this morning. We'll see how that goes. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, that's kind of what's going on, and I'll kind of see what you guys have on your mind. Corey, you've always got questions, it seems like, every time I talk to you in the past. So
I do. regarding this LB 37, the Railroad Safety Act. Do you have a good sense right now of how others in the body feel about it? Do you think you have a good chance of getting this through?
I don't have a good feel for it. I did kind of work with the chair of the committee, Mike Mosier, to get it scheduled before priority designations were due. And but he's very lukewarm on the bill. I would tell you that there have been some constitutionality issues raised as to whether or not you can pass these laws in Nebraska, and whether or not that everything from the Commerce Clause to just the fact that railroads work under federal regulation and can you interfere. There have been some state court cases that have been lost when there have been states wanting to put on additional restrictions. However, like anything else, every bill is unique. Every one of the courts look at things differently. And so this is something that clearly that I brought on behalf of the local unions who wanted this bill brought forward. And so so I'm going to continue to try to push forward. In my mind, it's a good bill. I mean, it does common sense kinds of things. The question becomes whether or not it will pass constitutional muster. My guess is if the bill passes that there'll be challenges, court challenges by the railroad companies that operate in Nebraska, predominantly UP and Burlington Northern. But we'll see. They also, like with the two-person crew bill that I brought here a couple years ago, they will lobby. I'm sure they're knocking on senators' doors this morning, pushing for them not to get it out of committee. And then if it gets out of committee and scheduled for floor debate, they'll be working that very hard on general file to try to stop the bill from moving. The key here is if we can get it out of committee this year, then it will carry over to next year, and then you can pick up and look for an earlier scheduling on the floor. So, any bill that dies this year is dead, but if it's still alive, you don't have to reintroduce it next year. So if you can get it out of committee, then you don't have to go through the hassle of getting it out of committee next year. I do think it'll be close on committee vote, but I believe that there may be enough votes to get it out of committee, and I think part of it was the one reason they wanted me to carry it is obviously we have more Republicans in the body, and I think they feel like that there will be some people that probably aren't going to buck a bill that I brought, but there's no assurances of that. So anyhow,
okay,
so we'll see.
Have you decided what your priority bills are going to be at this point?
Not definitely. My personal priority, I'm leaning hard towards my cryptocurrency bill, we finalized the amendments, and I need to take it back to be exec'd on in the Revenue Committee. So you really don't want to prioritize something that hasn't come out of committee yet. But I think I do have the votes to move it out of the Revenue Committee with the amendments that I brought to the bill. And this, of course, was also something that I brought on behalf of the governor. And really what it comes down to is it's being able to, the guts of the amended bill would take away the tax, but would require anyone who's mining cryptocurrency to be registered. If you're over a certain de minimis level, which would be 1 megawatt of power, if you're using 1 megawatt of power to mine crypto, you're going to have to be registered with your public utility. You're going to have to be on interruptible power, and they're going to have to report each year how much power you're using and where you're located. And what we're really trying to do is get this set up so that depending on where we go in terms of power supply, we want to be in a position to where we know who the consumers are. The problem with the cryptocurrency is I could care less about cryptocurrency. I truly could. I don't care one way or another. But what I do care about is how much power they consume. If many of you maybe remember, Elon Musk used to accept Bitcoin, as an example, when he sold his Tesla cars. But then he quit accepting Bitcoin to buy Tesla cars when he figured out how much power it takes to produce one Bitcoin. And so that's the real hang up here, is the a massive amount of power that's consumed to produce one Bitcoin. And that's what my issue is. I don't care about cryptocurrency one way or the other. I do care about power consumption and how that might restrict other businesses and industries from coming to Nebraska because of lack of power supply.
Okay. Wanted to get your thoughts also on Senator Hansen's bill 677 to prioritize the critical relationship between healthcare providers and their patients, ensuring access to medical cannabis as a legitimate treatment option.
Yeah, I've never been a fan of any of the marijuana bills. I have a hard time believing that marijuana is the magic pill that's going to, or the, you know, the magic drug out there that's going to cure all ailments. I know there are people that insist that this is the answer. I just know that when we're dealing in a day and age where we're trying to deal with addiction, behavioral health problems, medical marijuana very, very quickly moves to recreational marijuana. And when you start looking at work productivity, people driving under the influence, when you start looking at other problems, I just don't know why on earth we'd want to go down that path. And so that's my concern. And, you know, if you wanted to look at liquid forms of that in order to deal with it under the doctor's care, that's one thing on the medical side. But I think all too often this comes back to dealing and selling it, and either in one form or another. And the other thing is, there's issues. There's a bill out there on kratom and maybe regulating kratom. But it's just amazing all these different ways that these outfits continue to try to figure out a way to get illicit drugs into the hands of individuals. And I continue to remain opposed at this stage of the game.
Okay. Bill here that I saw on the unicameral update website, there's a bill out there that would end no excuse early voting and make other election changes. This is from Senator Holdcroft, 541.
Sure. Well, I would certainly be in favor of tightening up our election laws, but I would say that we have to be very careful about legitimate. If you required that everyone had to vote in person on election day, that would be a huge problem. And I think it would be a concern if we had a blizzard on that day. How much would that reduce the vote? And then you have to look at people that are elderly, that are shut in, that are traveling, that are overseas, that all of those things. It would have an impact, I think, if you make it too tight in order for them to vote. Now, at the same time, we want to be able to have voting done where your vote does count and it doesn't get offset by votes that are somehow stuffed from the standpoint of illicit, maybe voting twice because of somehow the mail system is set up. So I do think it's important to maybe tighten it up, but we've just got to be very careful about making sure we've made accommodations for all these other groups I've talked about.
Okay, and then the micro distillery craft brewery expansion bill, I see that's advanced, 113 sponsored by Grand Island Senator Dan Quick. Where are you on that?
Well, I like to refer to it as the Kincaidor Brewery bill, because I think they're the only microbrewer who's impacted by this bill. And I voted no on the bill the first time through because I contacted two of the three brewers slash distillers in my district who really weren't necessarily excited about the bill. They didn't really have an opinion one way or the other. The bill originally was to increase the number of gallons that you could self-distribute. I don't know that that's the big thing as much as the number of tap rooms that you can have. There's a three-tier system that's been in Nebraska forever and for decades, where you can produce the product, then you need a distributor to distribute it, and then you have a retailer that retails it. So just imagine, like, if Budweiser would decide that they wanted to self-distribute the Budweiser product. If you look at the distributor in North Platte, there's a Budweiser distributor in North Platte. They're a distributor. They don't produce any Budweiser beer. The same thing with Coors, Miller Coors. The Hanneborg family owns Miller Coors Distributing. They're distributors. So they get the product shipped in from the maker, from the manufacturer, and then they distribute the product. And then they also serve as distributors for other craft brewers and other smaller brands and off brands. If you were to go out and self-distribute as a manufacturer, let's take Lazy RW. They produce whiskey. Well, if you can self-distribute, you can cut out the cost of what it costs to have it distributed, and you can sell the product cheaper and or make more margin. But at the same time, if you have to haul that product to Lincoln or Omaha, the cost for you to haul it to Lincoln and Omaha pretty much takes away the margin. That's where you're better off having a distributor. So I think the concerns here are you don't want to lose the distributors. You know, they all build a relationship with their distributor, and they want to use their distributor for a distant deliveries, and because that's what makes that work. Mm-hmm. So that distributor relationship's important, and the bill came in originally taking the current limit on self-distribution, took it from 500 gallons to 5,000 gallons, and then it also it doubled or tripled the number of tap rooms. The money is in the tap rooms. If you can have another tap room, so to speak, another retail outlet, without having to go through a distributor, that's where the money's at. And that's what really, really people are after. So I would say if you operate tap rooms, you'd like to be able to do more. If you plan to expand, I don't see that those in District 42 are wanting to do that or are inhibited by that today. So that's why I didn't vote for the bill, I think I was present not voting. I will likely vote for the bill on the next rounds because there was a strong support for it. I don't think anybody in District 42 is adamantly opposed to it, but I just hope that we slow down the throttle here and make sure that we respect the three-tier system because it has worked for many, many years, and I think it's important to keep it in place.
Okay. Senator Jacobson, thanks so much for your time. If people want to get a hold of you, they can either phone you or email you, and I'm sure you read everything and listen to every voicemail that you get.
I do, and my staff is there to take care of it if I'm not. So, again, 402-471-2729 is the office number, and the email is mjacobson@leg.ne.gov. And get me your input. I know a lot of people do contact me and reach out to me. When we get into floor debate, it's important to hear your views. And just like on this bill that we just talked about, I like to know what my constituents are thinking. I'm here to represent District 42. And on these kinds of issues, I reach out to people if they haven't reached out to me to find out what your position on these bills.
All right, Senator, thanks so much again for your time. Have a good week down there in the legislature, okay?
Thanks a lot, Corey.
Take care.